it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back out to Pods on the River Islands guest line, reconnected as we talk to our favorite Valkyries superfan correspondent. Pods, you got us? We good? Okay, sounded much better. Perfect. All right, so what is, in your opinion, the mental side of a game like this? You have two teams coming together. Everyone's in the playoffs. Seeding is kind of at stake, though. So, like, how aggressive do you think these two teams actually play this thing?
Well, I'll start from the Valkyries on a win, and I think they'd rather not play Minnesota in the playoff. But on the flip side, I think Minnesota honestly wants to play us, so I think they're going to play their players and try to play us just because I'm not sure the record against the Seattle Storm, but I know it's going to be either us or them who plays Minnesota, and I think Minnesota would rather play us, honestly. But for me, going into the game as the Valks, I'm just trying to get a win because that's all I can control. And that just lowered in me.
As a player, are those things that you consciously think about going into a game, or is it just something you completely just block out of your mind, possible playoff machinations and all the rest?
I mean, it's definitely thought about. I think it's more so thought about between coaching staff, front office, things of that nature. I obviously haven't been fortunate enough to be in a situation yet where I get to kind of dictate should we win or lose this game, depending on who we play. But I think I'm always going to try to win and get the best out of everything.
Brandon Pajemski with us here on Withered and Dibs. Pods, we got to get a reaction from you on the fact that this scheduling conflict arrives and the Valkyries make the playoffs and their home game will be at SAP Center in San Jose. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I heard you say it's just kind of what has been built off of Valhalla. The crowd, the environment, all sellouts through all 22 games. And to not have that is going to be a little bit different, but, you know, I don't expect anything less than a sellout at SAP Center. I know it's a great venue. I've been to a few hockey games down there. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit different feel, but I know everyone's going to show up because it's the first playoff game.
Have you already made your arrangements to be there in your usual courtside seat for that playoff game?
Yes, I will be there.
It's big. It's big, and I wonder if how they're going to turn the teal that they normally have down there into the light purple or the lavender that the Valks come with. Have they asked you for any design ideas going into that playoff game?
No, they haven't, but I know, obviously, Joe will be there, and I'm sure Joe has voiced his opinion on what he thinks should be different, and I know something will be try to make it as similar as possible to Valhalla as they can. Obviously, everybody knows it'll be different, but it'll definitely be loud and rocking in there for sure.
Are you saying, Brandon, that Joe Lacob is usually forthright with his opinion?
I mean, hey, the man's the boss. He's the owner. His words mean a lot, so it's always kind of whatever he says goes.
Hey, I want to ask you this. Let's take a step back again. I know that we've already all kind of had it sink in that the Valkyries made the playoffs in their first year, which is incredible. You could answer this a bunch of different ways, but I wonder what comes to the front of your mind first. How'd they do it?
I think collectivity, different ladies every night, stepping up. You've had the consistent pieces that have been there all year. I think Veronica played in every single game, started every single game. Our all-star went down midway through. Things could have, flipped upside down for us, but we found a way to make it a positive. From the ladies that we signed only for hardship contracts to just the girls that have been there the whole time, everybody's just collectively stepped up and did their part. But I think everybody's just bought in defensively, and they know that they can hang their hat on that, and they did so for the majority of the second half of the season. But now, some of the offense is starting to click.
Do you see similarities in style of play with what you guys do? Because I'm just looking, and they led the league in percentage of the points that came from the three. Very good defensive team as well. Is that the mentality of the Valkyries? Is it similar to what you guys try to do with the Warriors?
I think there's some similarities. Obviously, personnel becomes a huge part of it. We have Steph, who shoots the most, you know, threes a game, close to every year. So that comes from a lot of it. But I think from analytics perspective, everything's so numbers based. You know, teams both in WNBA and NBA want threes or layups, or threes or paint shots rather, and they know that that's the most points per shot that you're going to get. So you can see that. Obviously, Natalie's probably trying to enforce that more just because it's her first year and she's trying to, you know, lay some groundwork of what she wants as a coach. And so to see that, and then to see them knocking their threes down, because I remember the first couple games I went to and I was like, wow, we're like 1-for-12 right now. But now, you know, they're having games where they're making 12, 15 threes. So it's been cool to see.
Pods, I know everybody's staying in the moment and hoping they do really well in the playoffs. But a first year like this sets them up for what going into next year?
It sets them up for an expectation, and it also sets them up that they're not a team that's just going to be pushed over because we're new. It gives us a good, you know, wherever the season ends, whether it's, you know, after the first round, we make it to the next round, the finals, whatever it is, there's always going to be another expectation that I know Joe and the front office is going to want to accomplish. But it also shows to the rest of the league, like, hey, these expansion teams are for real, and we expect a lot out of our players. And I think going into the second year next year, it's going to be a great, great year for us.
Brandon Pajemski, the Valkyries superfan correspondent with us every week here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. And obviously we do one big Warriors question at the end, and here's mine, because you just used the word expectation. Now let's transfer that over to the Golden State Warriors. Realistically, fans, what should their expectations be of this coming year?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think a lot of winning. You look at the All-Star break and beyond last year, our record, I don't know what it was, but it was pretty good amongst the league. To have a full year of our squad, whoever it may end up being, you know, you're going to have your main three pieces in Steph, Dre, and Jimmy. And so to have those three for a whole year together, I think it's going to be great. I think, you know, fans can expect a lot of winning. It'll probably look similar to the second half of the year. Throughout the course of the year. But everyone's goal is the championship, and everybody knows that.
I mean, Pods, you know, when you put that out there, everybody knows the greatness of those three players, but how do you answer it when someone says, like, is it realistic to be optimistic when those three players are all over 35 years old?
I mean, I think so. I know that those guys, when it comes to playoff time, I feel like their body resets in a way, and their mentality. They look at every series as just how can we get four games. And it's different in the playoffs. We've experienced it last year. I got to see how much harder it is, how much more intensity it is. And I know, you know, and they know, they only got a couple, you know, 3-5 more years, whatever it is, left in the tank. So it's like, we're there, we make it to the playoffs, they're going to give it all they got.
Pods, great to have you. Welcome back to town, man, and thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Okay, playoffs next week for the Valks. There it is, Brandon Pajemski.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.